When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
By now, you know that sound. It's the sound of the Home Depot. But what about those sounds? Those are the sounds of an LG wash tower with ultra-large capacity serving up a powerful yet gentle clean in just 29 minutes. Making this the sound of savings on the best appliance brands. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Get up to 25% off the LG wash tower with ultra-large capacity and reduced wash time. Pricing valid January 5th through January 25th, 2023. Gas dryer extra. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Dad Bod Rap Pod, we're back celebrating our independence from what? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? Every year on 4th of July, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, I like Britain. I don't know about you guys. My name is Damone Carter, a.k.a. Dem One. I don't know. I'm a lightweight Anglophile. I fuck with a lot of British shit, so I don't know.
I love tea as well, but if they start taxing my tea, dude, it's on.
That's it?
We're fucking revolting.
That's it. I am joined by Dave. Don't teabag me, Ma. sorry, it was there. I know we lost the Adam and Eve, but I'm still.
That's on my business card, so thank you for bringing that up. It's good to be here, guys. 4th of July, enjoying the AC. It's been hot in the South Bay, so good to see you guys.
Yeah, man. And we're also on the line with resident hot boy, Nathaniel J. LeBlanc. How's it going?
It's good. It was laundry day. I literally ran out of t-shirts, so I've been in a sweatshirt and shorts all day.
A sweatshirt and shorts?
Weird, conflicted outfit.
Oh, Nate, sweatshirt? What is... Yeah.
Trust me, it's no good.
Nice. I don't know
if you guys know this. There is a national shortage on coins. We went to go get quarters, as like one does,
The bank
tells my wife, you can only get one roll and expect it to be the last one for a while. We went to three different banks and we got three different rolls of quarters that should keep us over for like a month and a half.
Hold on. How is there a run on quarters? Like what possible?
I know.
It actually kind of makes sense if you think about it. People are not buying anything in cash. Right. So companies are not ordering quarters to give as change. So the Fed sees that. I'm extrapolating this quite a bit.
Go ahead, Nate Econ. Who are you? Nate Krugman. Continue.
Nate Silver, perhaps?
Yeah. Ouch. No,
let's see. So they're encouraging, and because a lot of the banks have been closed, like especially the consumer branches of the banks, like the coins are out there, but they're not coming back to the bank.
Damn!
So like everybody closed their business and left all the quarters in the till.
That's where ours are.
Yeah. Now I can't. Now I can't do my laundry. Now I'm wearing a sweatshirt and shorts.
Hey, Trump. Hey, hit your boy up. I got a fucking reservoir of coins because I just moved. And so I was unearthing. Like,
let me move this 60-pound bag of quarters.
Dude, I'm out here. I got multiple Garcia Vega boxes filled with fucking change.
Oh, so are you at the new spot? Is that what that backlighting's about?
No. I'm here back at the School of Arts and Culture because my new spot don't have Wi-Fi yet.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to step my life game up one thing at a time.
Important one.
Yeah. No, it's so weird. I spent the entire weekend without Wi-Fi, which is oddly refreshing in some ways. Because it's like, you know, I have my phone. I could, you know, I fuck with Twitter and shit. But like not being able to watch a movie or do anything of that sort. Mm. I read half of the stack of the fucking New Yorkers that Nate let me borrow 6 months ago. so that's when those come in handy. It's like, there's absolutely nothing else to do in this whole universe.
No such thing anymore. If you have a New Yorker subscription, the mountain just grows.
Dude. Totally.
So I'm reading 40,000 word articles about TikTok and, you know, just living my best life. You guys get into any mischief this 4th of July weekend?
A good buddy of mine, DJ Basura, shout out to Michael. He turned 40, so we met up with him and hung out a little bit. Yeah, just took it easy, man. I mean, July 4th, it was hot as fuck. And given the circumstances, there's really not much to do.
Nate, you was barbecuing some shit, man. I was lightweight.
I had a little barbecue sesh on Thursday night and Friday night. Nice. Got the grill out. Yeah. We have a very lovely produce box that we get delivered to the house on Thursdays. So it's like kind of like sets us up for the weekend. And yeah, man, blistered some shishito peppers, did some cauliflower steaks. A little less steak-like than I wanted. You really got to leave that root intact. Did some chicken. You know, it was good. It was really good. I love to cook. It's we've been doing it a lot because we basically don't go out. So if we're not supporting like one or two friends' restaurants with some takeout orders, we like cook every single meal. It's been an interesting thing of quarantine. I would say I've got four or five things I can just whip up, no recipe. Just like 15-minute interstices, like boom, like where I kind of didn't before. Before it was always like, what territory should we explore today?
Mm. You know what I mean? Well, once you have the framework, you know, all set up in your pantry or whatever, you're ready to go, dude. It's poof.
Yes, I was talking to one of my friends who lives out of state about this slaw that I made. It's like a Napa cabbage slaw with like some toasted peanuts, and she's like, "Can I get the recipe for that?" And I'm like, so pretentious, just like 15-page text essay. Like, it's not a recipe; it's an approach.
God, Nate, like, you're that guy that I'm like that guy. I went Wentz to Napa, and up there the cabbage really like fuck. Get to the recipe, man. Stop.
That's totally true. Really, it's just like everything's interchangeable. And you know, on cooking shows, they always say that they're just like, you know, whatever you have around the house. And like before, we didn't shop. So I didn't have anything around the house. I was like, I'm going to get cilantro because you made me. I don't have anything around the house.
But on the cookie shows, this is what I hate, man. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have some Brazilian turmeric here, but get whatever you want. Like, why did you show me some wild exotic shit? You know I can only go to Safeway. Stop playing.
But they can't just flex the Lowry's seasoning packet. You know, they got to be like, you know, you got to present some crazy shit.
Do you guys know who Matty Matheson is?
Of course.
He's been on Vice and now is doing his own thing. He writes cookbooks. He's like a, I don't know what, Dave, what, he's like a punk rock chef?
Okay. Yeah, just tattoo fingers, you know, chef.
And everything else.
And everything else. Easily mistaken for Action Bronson.
Kind of a Sam Kinison approach to the cooking show.
Yes.
It's like, it just ratchets up in intensity and he like screams into the camera, but his food is hella good.
Yeah.
But
I like his recipes.
Very unpretentious is what the reason why I bring him up. Like if Lowry's seasoning salt was the thing that would make the fucking potato salad good, he would use like a fucking cup of it. He doesn't give a fuck.
No, totally. We made a lasagna recipe of his where it required like carrots in the sauce.
It's like a true bolognese.
Right.
Lasagna. That's so
it's like dull orange, like straight from the 70s cookbook looking, but it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Totally. So, yeah. Yeah. He has some of my favorite food related content lately, and he had the Vice show for a while, and then he got mad at Vice, like everyone eventually does, and then he did another cooking show, like, and now he's doing one that's just recipes from his new cookbook, and with each one, he successively gets less professional and more like abstract. Like they're like on the concept of doing a cooking video, but he just like hates cooking videos. It's very interesting though, the row he's hoeing, if you will.
Damn, Nate brought Boyd back into the program.
G's up, dude.
Take that, Adam and Eve.
We're don't hear about that a lot on our podcast, but here we are.
Yes, yes. So we're holed up. We're cooking. I was sharing with Nate offline before we got going. I got a new crib, but I live in the Silicon Valley, so the only place that I could afford doesn't have a stove. So I'm jailhouse cooking, prodigy style. I've got a hot plate, a toaster oven, and a rice cooker, and we're gonna see if I can thug it out for 6 months.
You're like the opposite of Stove God Cooks.
Yeah, like, it's gonna be grimy. It's gonna be a lot of salads and shit, but I'm gonna stick it out.
I'll text you, 15-page approach for slaw.
Any of you guys fuck with an Instapot?
I have it. I don't use it that much.
You don't use it? Okay. I was gonna say, Damone. I think
Instapot.
You could use it for plenty of different things. You
know, yeah, that would be a good investment for your thing. Yeah. But if you have a rice cooker, you're kind of halfway there.
What's the difference it definitely between does some other things. And a rice cooker?
Well, kind of. It does what a rice cooker does, but you know, you can put it on a stovetop setting and just cook shit straight.
Like just cook a stovetop. Okay.
Like saute, and then it's a pressure cooker, so you can like braise meats or make stews and soups like much faster than normal.
Yeah,
okay. But I've always found stuff
that's frozen.
People are like, "Oh, just throw it in the Instant Pot for 5 minutes," but it's like they don't tell you like you have to get it out, set it up, chop everything, and then like it builds up to the steam. And I'm like, "So does that time not count?" Like,
this 5 minute
recipe took me 45 minutes. And that's part of the reason why I don't use it. And like I have like tried to become really good, especially at braising during the winter, like where like I have my way I do it and like a low heat that I set things on. And it's like I don't need the pressure because I have the time. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like
that's more than ever now. But you guys be on the lookout for Nate's new podcast, Talking Brazy.
I would love that. Actually, there was a time we were talking pretty seriously about a food spinoff, and that has gone away. And part of the reason is I think Rona is gonna be the final nail in the coffin of me as like a restaurant person. Like I'm
really you feel like that? 2023, Nate's not coming back. Come on, Nate.
So dude, one of my favorite things to do was go to restaurants and try dishes and experience different kinds of service and like see how clean the bathroom was and try to peek in the kitchen and like chat up the waitress about the specials and where the food was from. And I just cannot see myself doing that anymore. Like, I think I'm over it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I'll meet you in a restaurant in 2023, dog.
Like, we'll see. We'll see.
The human need to want to go grab a bite outside with some buddies, that's never going to go away, dude. You know,
true, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like Lucia and I taking a weekend and flying to a city and like trying to get resis at the best places and like making the vacation about the food.
Oh, dude,
not about the sights or the hiking.
Okay,
what I mean? Like living like a true like food based lifestyle and like frankly not super healthy. Like,
we do the same, and I don't think that's gonna go away. I mean, like, let's say you and Lucia go to a city. Are you gonna do everything but visit its restaurants?
Yeah,
come on. I don't know.
And it'll be bad.
We'll care less, and I think we'll be happier for it.
You'll definitely have more money. Tell you what.
Oh, that's for sure, dude.
Yeah, the cessation of eating out has done so much for the budget that it's not even like funny, but. I took my children's to this horrible sushi spot that for Nate's benefit I won't say near where my new house is, and I was just like my new apartment, I don't have a house. And it just took me back to like, oh, I understand why we shouldn't really do this type of shit anymore. Like you know what I mean? Just like eating out for the sake of eating out and not cooking, I think to that point, I think that is going to go away. Like you're going to I feel like going forward, you'll much more lean into making some shit. And I think that's kind of like universal. And if you haven't already noticed, you have stumbled in to our spinoff, the Dad Bod Food Pod. Hit us up on Twitter at Dad Bod Rap Pod. I'd be interested to know among our listeners who have listened this far into this segment, who's fucking with food? Like who? I would be interested to see what we've always assumed that there's an overlap of our demographic with folks who are kind of food connoisseurs. And so I would be interested to see who's looking for more food content. Let's say that. It would be interesting to hear what our fans say. Nate's not interested.
I don't know if you guys, silence. I was like waiting for the speech. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on our Bandcamp thread, I shouted out Cryptic One's food picks. Nice. He's not only a very good musician, but he's one of the only people we follow on Instagram whose food picks, I'm like, that's legit, dude. Like, okay. You skewered that very nicely. Like, good grill marks. Like,
yeah.
You cook through with using the entire rainbow. Like, I can tell you took some time with that. Like, people be posting some struggles.
Totally, totally.
And I'm like, what was the point of posting that? It's actually funny that you brought up Basura, and I don't think he'd mind us saying that this, or maybe he would. I don't think he listens to the show this carefully. He went from like struggle food poster to like legit food poster over the past like 5 years. Like some of the stuff he was posting, because he was like a single dude and he didn't really know how to cook. He was like, I'm trying this. And it's like, okay, you tried. And now when he posts some stuff, I'm like, damn, dude, that looks hella good. Like, especially him like embracing his roots and like cooking Filipino food. Like, I find it very entertaining.
No, there's a couple rappers who have kind of went into that lane. I remember, was it Yeshua was talking about his vegan cake recipe. Sadat X, who we've been trying to get on the program for 1,000 years, is kind of a wine connoisseur guy now. And of course, I think Action Bronson obviously kind of cornered the market.
Action Bronson, Mayhem Loren, and Alk, and all the Big Body Bass and their whole crew.
Yeah. Dude, I mean,
Action Bronson as the head.
Even Billy Woods has food game. You know what I mean?
As we've heard of Chew on the program.
I know, totally. Squid, right? Squid. Yeah.
Squid, then pork chops.
Pork chops, yeah.
He's eaten live on the program twice.
Shout out to Woods.
He has a great line on terror management about getting recognized at the butcher shop.
Nice.
That's how you know you've made it. I have a little story for you guys. It's kind of not the least egotistical story I've ever heard, but I was recognized as being on the show for my voice when I had my mask up on
what?
I want to say it was Saturday or You're Friday.
Hanging out with Sun Ra in San Jose? I don't know.
It actually makes sense if you know the back connections, but it took me by surprise. So there's these dudes who landscaped my neighbor's yard. And I went up to talk to them because I was admiring this plant. They do all native plants. And I was like, yo, hey, you know, I met you a couple times. I saw you guys when you guys were doing this. I love your work. Like, what plant is this? Like, tell me so I can go buy one. You know, basically. And he was like, it's this, this, and this. I've already forgotten what it's called. And then he's like, do I know you from Dad Bod Rap Pod?
What the fuck?
Yeah. I had my mask on, hat on, sunglasses on. I was in like full on incognito mode. Lucy and I were going to the fruit stand to like buy ripe stone fruit for our long weekend. And I was like, yes. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, that's me. It's nice to meet you. You know, I'm Nate, whatever. Wow. I live right around here. And so it was super funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was weird.
They tap into the program. That is so dope.
Wow. Yeah.
And we've actually gotten, I would say, a lot of recent kind of kudos. The Apollo Brown interview was definitely well received by folks, and we appreciate all the shout outs. This isn't a lucrative podcast, but knowing that people fuck with it and people enjoy it is really dope. And also, like, I feel like the audience is, I don't know, there's a certain kind of person that gets what the fuck we're doing. So really, if you get what we're doing and you think somebody else would, your fellow landscapers or whoever, food enthusiasts, please tell them to fuck with us, Dad Bod Rap Pod. We are on all the major platforms. We've been on a pretty good interview streak, guys. I feel like the last couple weeks, Jake One was a great interview.
Right.
Apollo Brown was a great interview because what is it? What's the list, Nate? Our best interviews are women producers.
What did I say? People who are like successful make good interview subjects. Like, they're you know, down towards the end of the list, people who don't actually want to be interviewed, but their manager made them, and people who are eating. Sometimes you're such a good interview, you can overcome the eating.
That's true. That's true.
As we've recognized on this program on a number of times, this is episode 126. We have
crazy,
really dope interview lined up. We have a couple dope interviews lined up. There's been a great buzz about a new artist out of LA called Koreatown Oddity, who you heard about here probably first from Mr. Nate LeBlanc, who seems to have his ear to the underground and is piquing our interest with new stuff. How did you first come across it? I remember we talked about this, but
I had heard of him from like Low End Theory days and just like being part of the LA scene. But like, to be honest, like I didn't get him or it back then. He used to wear a wolf mask like 100% of the time in public. Okay. And like, even this weekend doing my research for the show, I went back and listened to his older stuff. And I was like, this isn't it. Like, he just had a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, let's ask him and like, let's see if how he feels about that. But in my estimation, this new record is special. And I think I just caught it because the cover looked interesting. And I'm always looking at the kind of release calendar. And I was just like, I'm going to check this out. Like, this looks cool. This looks different. Like, cover art really matters, I think, is something I would love to impress upon the artists and producers and managers
and labels Virgil too
that we're listening to and Virgil Abloh.
We know Virgil is a frequent listener. Not really.
That was such a funny little moment in time. But then all those fan-made covers were so much better. Like, I was like, is this a stunt? Is it a stunt?
Yeah.
doing air quotes you guys can't see on the Zoom to draw attention to the project, because
sure.
I don't know if anybody's that savvy, but goddamn, what he did was trash.
Yeah, I think it's a spectacular fail, and I think it just reinforces that there's aspects of this this game that people feel like you can do it yourself, and you really can't. Like,
we thought his West Side Gun cover was silly too, when he just put the chains on the like Caravaggio painting or whatever. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good album, but
that's
like
how you enjoy the product, right? And I think Woods talked about this really at length during the Armin Hammer interview about how he procured the photo and kind of his approach to having a cover and cover art. And I think especially for independent artists, of which I get Pop Smoke wasn't, you know, R.I.P. was not an independent artist, but it's this idea that you can just throw anything as a cover, just something that'll stand out online. There's so many dope artists. Virgil is a dope streetwear designer, but to think that you could do that, it's almost like a rapper producer thinking he could run for president. It's just, it's silly. It makes no sense. It's such an overreach.
It's unwelcome and distracting at the worst possible time.
But is he really going to do it?
Nah, it's a publicity stunt. He has a new album coming out next week.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it goes
for him to get onto any like significant ballot. So it's just like a silly little
action. Stupid.
A lot of hand wringing this weekend on, is this going to siphon votes away from Biden?
I was offended. Like,
are you talking about?
I was personally offended. Does anybody think that there's a plurality of black people or any other type of people who are?
I think they're assuming young people, right? That's who still cares about
the fuckboy vote. Is that what? That's what this is about.
The fuckboy caucus.
The super PAC.
Dude, that would be like a supreme fest for the ages, bro. That would be amazing. Fuckboy caucus. That's actually like a Chris Crack song title.
Totally. Totally.
That's super funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like obviously where we're at now, you could literally say anyone's name as a presidential candidate and nobody could be like, that's preposterous.
Right.
That's right. Where in that void, I guess, I mean, 4 years ago, Kanye West could say he was running for president and you'd be like, ah, that's a fucking joke. The fear, the palpable fear about it says so much about our political.
Totally.
Like, right.
Totally.
Like, we did. Like, I believe a lot of this goes back to the silly runoff for California governor that resulted in Schwarzenegger being elected.
Yeah.
And like Gary, what's the dude's name? Is it Gary Coleman?
Gary Coleman.
And Mary Carey, the stripper, ran. And
Jesse Ventura.
No, he was in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, weird celebrity.
Gotcha. Oh, right.
He was the mayor. Wasn't he? The governor.
He was the governor. Yeah. Anyway, it's just like transitioning from wrestler in this case, but he was also an actor. He's in Predator and stuff. To politician is not that weird. It's like the weird, like, political circus vibe of that runoff, I think, changed electoral politics for the politics. Much, much worse. Well, the stuff that's coming out today is just that, like, I forget who said it. Someone much smarter than me on Twitter was saying, like, the only problem that Trump was able to solve for his base was reacting to having a black president.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's so, he's just a corrective measure for, like, aggrieved, angry, out of work, like, downtrodden white people to feel a, like, modicum of power still exists for them and that their time is not yet over, though they know the end is coming soon.
But maybe,
and it's like, would Kanye run as a Republican?
I think he would run.
You don't need to dignify it, but
yeah, I think he would run as the Wyoming representative for I don't know, man. I'm like, dude, you couldn't even get Teyana Taylor's album release right. You're not doing a fucking presidential campaign. Oh my God, so sad. I kind of think about how we'll look back on all of this, 20 years hence, if we have that much time. Right. And I wonder if this will all be compressed. This period of Kanye's career will all be compressed into then he got weird.
Right, or like Bob Dylan's Born Again Christian phase.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's like, this is like Kanye's it doesn't boring. Make you not be a fan of Bob Dylan. You're like, that was weird.
But in the grand scheme, right, it just depends on how long he keeps going with this. But in the grand scheme, you can write it off as an era, right? It's kind of like James Brown rolled with fucking Richard Nixon. Like, that fucking happened. Like, that was a part of his career. But in the breadth of his career, you don't really look at that. You go, he had this amazing, not to say Kanye is James Brown, but I do wonder if when it's all said and done, nobody listened to Jesus is King. I don't know that this whatever, I don't, did you guys hear the single?
I put it on. It's atrocious.
I didn't even check for it, dude. Jesus is King pushed me to the point of I don't listen anymore.
Yeah,
like I gave that one run through and kept skipping, and I'm like, I'm done. I never listened to the Sunday Service record. I don't fuck with him anymore at all.
I gave it a hate listen, and it was, you know, I was
rewarded. Hated it. Yeah, and it delivered on. I think if he had, I listened to it and I go, this is okay. Had he not went in this direction so hard, if this was a song off of a Kanye project where he was still a sane person, just talking about like Jesus Walks is a Jesus-ass Christian rap song, but in the context of his work, it worked. But now he's so far off the deep end that I'm like, what I really noticed about him and why I can't abide by it anymore is that once you lose the narrative thread, like once what you say, I have to go, no, bro, you were in the fucking Oval Office chopping it up with Trump. Mm-hmm. You have no credibility to say anything about anything anymore, right? So I feel, I don't know. I'm obviously, like everybody else, I'm kind of heartbroken that his talent, and I wish I knew the person who tweeted this, it was like, never has a brilliant black man tried harder to be a mediocre white man. I'm sorry, whoever tweeted that, man. You're a genius.
Oh my God,
that's so brilliant.
Not my work. That's somebody else's very astute assessment of where Mr. West is at. On a happier note, Nate, you on your Twitter takeover day, you did do a new release Friday post. Was it Friday?
was kind of. I did a Bandcamp Day post. It was like, check out some stuff on Bandcamp.
What did you end up copying?
In our orbit. The new Small Pro and Curly Castro, Blue Edwards.
Okay.
But due to me being not smart enough to learn how to put those files on my phone, I actually haven't listened to it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently you cannot download directly from Bandcamp onto an iPhone. And I didn't know that when I hit click.
Really?
And I'm happy to send them money because those guys are awesome. But now I'm in this weird, like, do I just listen to it on my laptop or should I keep going and Googling things until I figure out how to get it on my iPhone, which is where I want it. It's like, right. I listen to it while I ride my bike.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I don't listen to a lot of music on my phone. If I do, I usually just download it from Spotify, but the whole point was to support on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. So I was just weird and being like a Luddite. So more to come on that soon. It's people are really into it. Apparently they do a lot of interesting stuff with time signatures. I like cannot wait to check it out, but like haven't actually listened to it yet.
Yeah, that's a startlingly honest admission. Most people.
Yeah. Most people, and I don't buy a lot of digital files. I usually wait for vinyl, but it's unclear in these times what's going to get a release. And I wanted to make sure to do something while they'd get 100% of the proceeds. So that's where I ended up going this time around.
Shout out Small Pro, Curly Castro, definitely friends of the program. Your Shrines vinyl came? You guys get your Shrines vinyls?
Hey, did come. Yes. Thank you for asking. It finally did come. And as soon as I opened it, I thought of our interview with Billy and Hammer and you know and how he procured the cover art, and it's so striking just on that white background, dude. It's so much
gorgeous.
Yeah,
the typography is gorgeous, the layout is gorgeous. It's such a good record.
So to our earlier point with just, you know, these projects being whole projects, I mean, the Arm & Hammer Shrine is just incredible.
Yeah, definitely will be in the contentious album of the year conversation. I want to bring an unsolved mystery thing to the pod in the hopes that maybe some of our listeners can help me understand what happened. Like LeBron, I study rap battles, on Shrines, on the last verse of Leopards, Lucid really, like, he's going at someone. He has a verse where he is like pointedly talking long shit about someone. It's a thinly veiled subliminal diss. And if anybody has information as to who that's about, hit us on the DM. I don't want to like out. I know Zillaraka, I tweeted that and he just tweeted the emoji with the lips zipped.
Pretty clearly that some people we know.
But yeah, yeah.
They're and like, I, if I you would, know, you know. No.
Yeah, I wouldn't have asked them that. I was like, oh, I was interviewing them, but I wouldn't have asked that. But I'm always right. here for subliminal disc.
No gotcha questions, future guests. It's just a chat show. We're just going to tell you how good your record is and ask you how you made it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to dig into anybody there, but I'm all down for the QAnon conspiracy subliminal rap disc theories. So if anybody has some inside info on that, please hit us up at DadBodRapPod. That shit is like... I care way too much about this, apparently. I re-listen, I think about it, I'm like, fuck, this is like very, very juicy. And at the end of that verse, it seems as if Rap Ferreira's name, it doesn't seem like it's a diss about him, but his name is redacted. Lucid goes, in the words of Rap Ferreira, things are getting clearer. And it's like, what?
Interesting.
No, I've been parsing over that way too much, obviously.
It's like a conspiracy theorist.
Totally. Keep it on the line. Let's chop it up. So I was thinking about this and going, how dope is it that we get to chop it up with these cats? Like these are everybody that's kind of, not everybody, but most of the people that are in this album of the year discussion. we've actually had the chance to talk to, and like,
that's right.
Which I think is kind of self-selecting. Like, we, like, we consider these the albums of the year, so we pursue an interview with you, so we end up talking to you, so we get to like you more, so then we like the record with a more, different context, yeah. So then it makes it more the album of the year.
It's like a feedback loop for yes, sure.
In a way everybody except for Rock Marciano, fingers yeah. crossed someday.
Yeah,
Alchemist on a project. I don't think we'll ever talk to Ka, but you know, he gives as little of himself as he has to be known, but you know, that'd be a great interview too, probably.
I don't put anything past Dave Ma. The booking Dave power of Dave Ma is legendary.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Hey, did you guys, speaking of that, did you see Black Thought teased Streams of Thought 3?
Yeah, it's a full album, dude.
A biblical title, right? Isn't it like Cain and Abel?
Yeah. Songs of Cain and Abel or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. All produced by Sean C, which is a very interesting choice. Can't wait, dude. I think it's like next week or something.
Yeah. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
It'll be interesting. I think Streams of Thought 2 kind of came and went. Like, there wasn't.
When I listen back now, I feel I was overly harsh.
Did you really?
Yeah, I do.
You do. You feel like that deserves.
It's good. It's really good. It's not like it's not. It's the first one is just a little bit more to my taste with the beats, and like it was just off the freestyle, so he was just so on fire.
Right.
But I listen back to two, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this. Like,
there's nothing wrong with it. You can't really say there's any like deficiencies in his writing or rapping. Exactly. It's just, you know, the beats could be a little bit more compelling, but even the beats itself are solid. They're just not, you know, knock you on your face. You know.
Yeah.
Sean C. What does Sean C. produce? What do I know him from?
He was with like Bad Boy. I forget the name of their crew. It's not Trackmasters. It's not Hitmen. It's one of those. Mm-hmm.
Tone and Poke.
Yeah.
Cool and Dre era.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Got it. That should be really interesting. Definitely looking forward to that. Just, you know, obviously because Black Thought is a genius, and it seems like some of the features that are on there are pretty badass. So there's been a lot of dope releases. It seems like there's just more coming down the pipe. I think it's going to be a wild race to like album of the year, and we're only like literally halfway.
I know, so much left to do.
The Rock Marciano record supposedly dropping before the end of summer. So we'll see. There's a lot going on, a lot to talk about. Rap is uniquely poised to ride out a quarantine. It's like, it's bedroom music. Nobody's got to get a band together. Like, this shit, just cats could keep doing albums forever in a closet. So we are the beneficiaries of that here on the Dad Bod Rap Pod. I think we have an interview coming up. No, Dave?
Yes, sir. We got an interview coming up with Koreatown Oddity. So Dominique should be hitting us up very shortly.
Yeah.
Can I call him K-Town?
Yeah, K-Town Oddity.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this will be.
I feel like I know him now. I'm like, remember your nosebleeds? Remember your car accident?
Totally.
Remember when you played Ninja Turtles? Right. I played Ninja Turtles too.
I remember the riots too. Yeah.
That's a revealing record.
It's such a personal record. Love it so much. It has a doom, Quasimodo, homemade feel. It's the shit, man. I'm very taken by it. Yeah, and shouts to Nate for like hipping us to it. I mean, as soon as I put on the track, I forgot which one it was, but I was like, whoa, I hope the entire album sounds this way. And it does. You know?
Well, it's good to see somebody like stumble into a groove, right? Like, you could tell, like, to your point, Nate, maybe the earlier material didn't click the same way, but I definitely got that feeling listening to the record that like, oh, you're in your bag, as they say. You figured out what's dope about your style. You've developed it, and you have an approach that is, you know, I'll say it. It's hard to do new shit. It's hard to do something that comes across as actually new.
Unique.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, and somehow he's doing it. Like, yeah, so why don't we take a break? We're going to come back with the interview with Koreatown Oddity, Dead by Rap Pod. We'll be right back. Dad Bod Rap Pod, always bringing you the dopeness first. You heard a couple weeks ago, Nate put us on to an artist that has a new, was that, wait, hold on, man. What the hell?
Was that an electric pencil sharpener?
Yes. I'm sorry, we experimented with sound effects. But okay. Nate put us on to an artist by the name of Koreatown Oddity, who has a new album out right now that all of us are really feeling. We want to welcome him to the program. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. Thank y'all for having me on the show, man. Glad y'all fucking with it.
Yeah man. It's an amazing album, deeply personal. What made you decide to kind of like have that be your crux of the album is talking about these two accidents that kind of shaped you? Like, what, how did that come to be?
Well, I guess I felt like it was probably about time in where I'm at, as you know, in my catalog or something like that, to kind of give you the details of what you don't know. Because, and a lot of my music, you know, you might hear, you know, I might reference things that are in between me and the, you know, the artist I'm working with, or things that only, you know, only I know, you know. And so here's a good opportunity for people to hear the whole thing and see, like, how did I even get to the state of mind where I'm at as an artist? Like, where is this sort of coming from? This is like, you know, kind of like off kind of style of the way I put things together. So I figured, like, you know, it just timing wise in life is just like, that's just what came out of me, you know?
Okay, word, man. You know, in the past, you've worked with like Mind Design and Ross G and just other producers and stuff. Yeah. And this one's been entirely self-produced. I mean, there's on Kim Chi, it sounds like you're sampling yourself whistling or something. Like, can you take us through the process of producing this album and, you know, what went into it?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people may not know, but, you know, I produced my first album too, you know, mm-hmm. No health insurance. And I have a Chinese New Year's series that I do every year, that when each animal ends, I put it out, which is like an instrumental thing based on that particular animal, the energy and all that. And so we're on the pig right now. And then in 2024, we'll finish Back at the Dragon, because that's where I started. Mm. But so, you know, I've been doing production for like a long time. And but also I'm a fan of producers and production. And, right. You know, so, that's how, doing a project with Mind Design comes out. Because, you know, that's my homie. It's like, we're just kicking it. And then, like, you know, eventually something just happens like that. Same with Ross G. And even same with Bex Ruffin, who produced my first record on Stone's Throw.
Okay.
And so it's like, wanting to work with a couple of homies. You know, it's like, they're very specific selections of producers. It's not really like, you know, oftentimes somebody might hit me up and say, let's do something, but I'm not necessarily going to jump on everything that, you know, people just want to have me on. Kind of got to be like, you know, it's the homie, I'm vibing with it. Mm-hmm. And so at this time, even God bless, my man Ross G was like, even he was saying when I had started working on this, like, man, you got to produce the whole shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, word up, because I had played him a couple joints real early in the process. I started putting beats into the computer at a Stone Throw studio probably about 2017, at the end of 2017.
Okay.
So my Finna Be Past Tense album came out in January of 2017. And in September, I was already putting production in for this one. And, you know, a lot of times I would just, you know, I would make a joint and I would just know that, okay, I'm spitting on this, you know, like some things I know when I make it, I'm like, you know, it's instrumental. It's like, I don't need to do anything on it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like, oh, this is for somebody that I know that they should definitely spit on this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With the particular music that got pick for the album. It was just like I had a couple, you know, made those. Like the first track I recorded was the Koreatown Oddity, the one that's called that one. And I just already had the verse in my head because I don't write my verses. I just, you know, I kind of like work on it in my mind. So I already had that verse. And I just, that's probably the first track that I laid. I already knew the title of the album and everything. And definitely with the production, I just wanted to, for newcomers to me being a producer, to know my wide range of sounds that I'm into and that, you know, yo, I fuck with records. I dig for records. And even if you are a person that digs for records, even you can listen to it and be like, where the fuck did he get that from? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to make it ear candy for people who already are into music as well, mm-hmm. you know? And once I made, actually the Kim Chi one you brought up, once I made that one, that's when I knew the album was complete because it had all the sounds that I needed to express, you know, from soft to hard to smooth to, you know, out there, you know, and I was like, okay, this is a complete spectrum of my ear on this album.
Yeah, yeah. I love that track, man. Thank you for explaining that, man.
No problem.
So I guess I have a two-part question. One, just real quick, yes or no. Do you consider it to be a concept album?
Yeah, honestly, every album I ever made is a concept album. Yeah. That's the only way I make albums.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I come from the point of view of, like, I want to make a whole album. You know, when you're making a movie, you're not just be like, yo, I'm just going to make a couple hot scenes and the rest of them are trash.
That leads directly into my next question, right, and I'm so glad you
mentioned. You know, because it's like, That's just my, you know, like, I'm not making the stuff for it to only live in the time it comes out in. You know, in 10 right. years, somebody who may just discover me, you know, I want right. them to be able to get into it and listen to the whole album, appreciate the whole thing. And, you know, and you could be able to talk with somebody and be like, yo, did you listen to it? Oh, man, remember this part? I was wondering why he thought this. It's like, that's mm-hmm. the fun thing that I get out of albums. So I want to put that same thing back to when I do my own stuff.
So do you try then to insert a couple of songs that could stand alone or be playlisted? Or do you think about like the jumbled kind of shuffle nature of current listening at all?
Nah, because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, when this time passes where what was the single, no one's going to give a fuck what the single is. You right. know, when you go back and listen to some fucking Wu-Tang, you don't care what the single was. You just listen to the album. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and you don't even care what the reviews or anything. You only care about, do I like this shit? And that's all that matters, you know?
Yeah.
On this one, I would say there is like, there is probably more showcasing that, yo, if I want to make, you know, some shit that's like, yo, it's a hit, I could do the shit and still do it within my own range of not compromising my artist, you know, my artistry.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. So you're also, in addition to being a producer and an MC, you're also like a humorist, like a comedian. Like how
For sure.
how do you blend those worlds? Like and do you like even consider yourself more of one than the other? Or is it kind of like a mix?
Honestly, man, I'm lucky enough to have like a unique upbringing because I was doing both at the same time. Like when I was in, I probably did stand up probably for the first time when I was like 14. Right. So, and at the same time, I'm making tapes of raps, me and my boys, you know, at my crib, you know what I'm saying? Just for fun, not even really like, yo, I'm trying to like pursue any of these things really, you know? And, you know, and I just kept doing those things. And, you know, that just becomes life. You know, you're into comedy, you're part of the culture. I mean, I already grew up kind of in the hip hop culture because my mom being down with Syndicate and Zulu Nation and Ice-T and Grandmaster Caz and Macon Drury. And I, you know, she's the first person to put me on to rap, you know, cause I listen to her tapes, you know what I'm saying? Wow. So, and just being exposed to all kinds of different things. Comedy is just always going to be in there. That's just like, you know, my point of view is always going to have some sort of comedic edge on it, mm-hmm. because it allows me to say some certain things that another person may not be able to say because they don't know how to have that curve to where it's like, Dan, I was crazy what you said, but I get it because you put it in a humorous way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those things has kind of always been tied together. Obviously, I came up like listening to Kool Keith and The Far Side, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And those type of guys are, you know, they're totally themselves. And, right. you know, I definitely benefited from experiencing their music, you know, growing up hearing music, different artists like that, that are just being themselves. When you're from LA, everybody's like, you know, a gangster rapper, or the people assume that's what it is, you know? And, you know, with listening to those artists and seeing, you know, what's different kind of stuff that's out there, it definitely allowed me to be more of like whatever I wanted to do, you know?
Okay. So, it's interesting you brought up your kind of unconventional upbringing, because this on the song Ginkgo Biloba, I was like, this dude grew up exactly like I did. Like the Ninja Turtles, the Street Fighter, the shoe, right. the pace of like, right. I grew up in suburban San Jose. You grew up in Koreatown in LA. It's not that far right. from each other. I love a song like that where you see what's universal and like the kind of like the connection that people made. So I appreciated that moment in the song.
Nah, exactly, really, man. Question. Nah, word, but nah, it's a, I hear what you're saying though, because that's the thing about it too. It's like, you know, it just makes me think about one time, this is a totally random, but like one time I was in, I got, you know, some family in Ohio, right? Because that's where my mom's from. So I'm the only one that's from LA, right? But so I went over there one time. My cousin had a boyfriend from Detroit, and he was like, you know, he was thugged out like a motherfucker, selling all kind of shit, hiding like, shit in his teeth and all that kind of crazy stuff. So I'm like hanging out with him one day, you know, like I'm just riding around with him. This is maybe like 10 years ago. And so we're just riding around. We go to his boys, you know, their crack house, I guess. They're like where they're whipping up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just with him. So I go in there chilling, you know, watching the basketball game. And they're, you know, they're doing their thing. And they're like, you know, asking, oh, yo, I heard you were artists and stuff, man. That's cool, man. He's like, well, you know, what we do, man, is we cook this crack, right? You know what I'm saying? So whatever. He leaves. You know, there's a bunch of people in this house. And he leaves. I didn't really know where he left. You know, we're all faded. We're smoking weed, whatever. There's a wrestling toy on the table. I think it was like, you know, maybe it was Ted DiBiase or something like that, right? So I'm in this room with, I don't know where my cousin's boyfriend went. Anything bad could happen at this point, you know, just sitting there. I'm with all these dudes I don't know. So I see the wrestling toy over there. I just picked the wrestling toy up, you know, start fucking with it, doing my own little wrestling voices to it. And all of a sudden, a couple of dudes right next to me, we just start this conversation. We start talking about wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So the WWF, the classic days with Jimmy Fly, Snuka, and all that type yes. of stuff. And it's like, and we're having a blast. We're cracking jokes and whatever. My cousin comes back. It's all good. My cousin boyfriend, and we leave. And I, you know, later on, I like processed that. And I was like, it's crazy how they're into a totally different lifestyle that, right. that I'm living. I was mm-hmm. like, but we connected on wrestling, mm-hmm. right. It's like, and we having a ball talking about wrestling, and you know, thinking about that. So
we sidestep some whole other energy that could have came into it.
No, you feel what I'm saying? But yeah. it's just like, so with that song, even what you're saying is like, it's to show that like, yo, I'm living a whole different life than somebody else. But man, we're all connected through these little tiny things. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we've all played Street Fighter in the arcade and, you know, and got our ass beat on it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, even though the experience is different, that's something that that's interwoven that connects us, you know?
Absolutely. Sadly, we have to kind of wrap up, but I was wondering if you didn't mind, like, if someone's never heard of you and our listeners are new to your whole vibe, can you kind of sell them the new album? Like, tell them what it's about.
Yeah, man. Honestly, man, I think this is the best album that's going to come out this year. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't even matter if it's this year because it's timeless. I'm like, but everybody else is pretty much going to talk about the same thing. I think that no one's really heard anything that sounds like this with from a person like this. And I feel like it's time to have a representative, you know, on the mainstream scale of an artist like me. We got the Tylers, we got the fucking Freddie Gibbs, we got the West Side Guns, we got those artists. We need somebody that's in a lane that touches some different people. So if any, when you listen to this album, immediately when you listen to it, if you don't fuck with it, then I mean, you're probably trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even be modest about that because you know, I noticed what I really put that in there, you know what I'm saying? To cover all my bases for my hardcore hip hop fans, to my experimental people, to my people who never even listened to rap before in their life to enjoy, people who just, you know, like music. So I think this is the best album, honestly, for anybody who's new to me to start with, because you can work backwards from there and you'll actually understand more.
Word. Man. There it is.
Little Dominique's Nosebleed out now. The Koreatown Oddity, we thank you for coming on the program.
Yo, man, thank y'all for having me, man. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Peace.
All right, later. Peace, y'all.
Dad Bod Rap Pod, that was our conversation with the Koreatown Oddity. Super funny, engaging dude. Like, that was a really cool interview. We appreciate him coming on. Little Dominique's Nosebleed is a dope record. You should definitely check it out. As he mentioned, if you don't enjoy it, you are trash. So that's a good way to see where you're at with things.
That's one of the funniest things anyone said on the show in a long time. I was like legit laughing for a long time, like covering up my little headphone thingy so that my speaking wouldn't be on the show. Like that really made me laugh.
Dude, I love his confidence. I love that he knows exactly what he just made. You know what I mean? His record, I mean, even he himself was like, this is a good starting point for people to check my shit out. Cause he knows
exactly what I did. It was like, I like this so much, I'm going to go backwards in time with your other music now, which like that really says something. We talked a little bit about this with Apollo Brown last week too. Like they know who they are.
Right.
Like, they have no illusions about themselves. It's not, like their confidence comes from like a centeredness.
Self-aware.
100%.
About being realistic about their life and career. And I'd like to strive for that in my
100% life
and really admire that in other people.
Yes. Yes. Knowledge of self, dude. You can't fake that shit. And that's who I want to fuck with.
Totally.
Yeah.
On or off the pod.
We really appreciate Kim coming on and kind of giving us a little bit of the backstory. Dad Bod Rap Pod, 126 episodes in, you should know, but if you don't, check out the back episodes on kiki.co.uk. We're also on most of the platforms where you get your podcasting jollies, including Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all that good stuff. Correspond with us on Twitter at Dad Bod Rap Pod and on Instagram at Dad Bod Rap Pod. Nate is going to be an Instagram influencer very soon. stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for his makeup posts that are going to be coming out. This has been a really interesting episode. We talked about food. We talked about the Koreatown Oddity. We talked about Kanye probably for too long, but that is the stream of consciousness that you've come to expect from the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
By now, you know that sound. It's the sound of the Home Depot. But what about those sounds? Those are the sounds of an LG wash tower with ultra-large capacity serving up a powerful yet gentle clean in just 29 minutes. Making this the sound of savings on the best appliance brands. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Get up to 25% off the LG wash tower with ultra-large capacity and reduced wash time. Pricing valid January 5th through January 25th, 2023. Gas dryer extra. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.